नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the seventh chapter of the seventh canto. Who's speaking here? Hello? Who's speaking? Those who have been coming to class? Prahlad Maharaj, yes. And who's he speaking to? His classmates. And how old was Prahlad at this point? Five. And so the classmates are all the same age. So, if five-year-olds can listen to this attentively and get something out of it. Okay? Need I say any more? Okay, what text is on the board? 25, okay. Buddhir jagaranam swapnaha sushuptir iti vrittayaha ta yena eva anubhuyante so jakshaha purushaha paraha buddhir jagaranam swapna sushuptir iti vrittayaha tayena eva anubhuyante so jakshak purushak paraha buddhir jagaranam swapna sushuptir iti vrittayaha tayena eva anubhuyante So Dyakshak Purushak Paraha Buddhir Jagaranang Swapnaha Sushuptir Iti Vrittayaha Tayena Ivana Bhuyante So Dyakshak Purushak Paraha Please chant Buddhir Jagaranang Swapnaha Buddhir jagaranam swapna sushuptir iti vrittayaha ante Buddhir jagaranam swapna sushuptir iti vrittayaha So Yakshak Purushak Paraha Buddhir Jagaranang Swapna Susuptir Iti Vrittayaha Uyante Vaishnavis Buddhir Jagaranang Swapna Shushuptir Iti Vrittayaha Tayena Eva Anubhuyante So Dyakshak Purushak Paraha Buddhir Jagaranang Swapna Shushuptir Iti Vrittayaha Tayena Eva Anubhuyante So Dyakshak Purushak Paraha. Okay, word meanings Buddhe of the intelligence. Jagaranam, the waking or active state of the gross senses. Swapnaha, dreaming. Parenthetically, the activity of the senses without the gross body. Sushuptihi, deep sleep or cessation of all activities, in parentheses, although the living entity is the seer. iti, thus, vrittayaha, the various transactions, taha, they, yena, by whom, eva, indeed, anubhuyante, are perceived, saha, that, adyakshaha, overseer, in parentheses, who is different from the activities. Purushaha, the enjoyer. Paraha, transcendental. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. Intelligence can be perceived in three states of activity: wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. The person who perceives these three is to be considered the original master, the ruler, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Intelligence can be perceived in three states of activity: wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. The person who perceives these three is to be considered the original master, the ruler, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's a little bit cryptic, this verse, if you're following. But anyway, let's hear Prabhupada's purport, and then we'll discuss. Without intelligence, one cannot understand the direct activities of the senses, nor can he understand dreaming or the cessation of all gross and subtle activities. The seer and controller is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Soul, by whose direction the individual soul can understand when he is awake, when he is sleeping, and when he is completely in trance. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15, the Lord says, Sarvasya chahang hridi sannivishto matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The living entities are completely absorbed in the three states of wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep through their intelligence. This intelligence is supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who accompanies the individual soul as a friend. Srila Madhvacharya says that the living entity is sometimes described as satta buddhi, when his intelligence acts directly to perceive pains and pleasures above activities. There is a dreaming state in which understanding comes from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, matak smritir gyanam apohanam cha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Super Soul, is the Supreme Controller, and under his direction, the living entities are sub-controllers. One must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one's intelligence. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshtarine Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtang, Stafitang Jaina Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamayam, Dadati Swapadantikam, Vandehang, Sri Guru, Sri Yatapadakalam, Sri Guru and Vaishnavangsha, Sri Rupam, Sagajatam, Sahagana, Ragana, Tanvitam, Tanksajivam, Chadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padan, Sahagana, Lalita, Sri Vishakanvitangsha, Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namoste Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishramanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhuve Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, as they say in the West, 'tis the season for giving, right? Everybody's busily running around buying presents to give others and hoping that they'll get what they want from other people. Nowadays, practically, it's the season for giving and receiving iDevices, right? So that's why I purposely brought my iDevice this morning instead of, normally I bring a computer, but because it was raining. And also I wanted to point out, for those who don't know, that on your iDevice or your Android or whatever you carry around, you can carry all of Srila Prabhupada's books. Go to bbtmedia.com, You have to register because they only want to give the books to devotees, not just anybody. So you register, give them your devotee name, your legal name. And lo and behold, you'll be able to download all of Prabhupada's books for your iDevice or your Android or whatever you carry. The purport is there's no excuse for not having Prabhupada's books with you wherever you go. And every moment that you get, you read something. These instructions are there so that we can sharpen our intelligence. Intelligence is one of the points that we're going to discuss today. Prahlad, again, is instructing five-year-old boys. Right? So it's very telling, the topics that he chooses to present. Many of us, especially those who have been around for some time, we know the big preaching verses from Prahlad's teachings to his classmates and to his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadeva. But every single verse, because he's Mahajan, every single verse that he spoke is important. So we should try to understand and enter into it. So today's verse, he's speaking about intelligence as perceived through these three states: wakefulness, sleep, and here it's called deep sleep, in Sanskrit, susupti, which is a very, very interesting phenomenon we can talk about. So wakefulness, we all, as stated here in the Prabhupada's purport, by the grace of Krishna, we understand when we are awake. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way. We talk about sleepwalking, right? We have sleep chanting also. I remember there was a famous cartoon. You see the grumpy-looking male devotee, you know, with his bead bag in his hand. And the wife, cheerful, she says, "Prabhu, shall I wake you when you finish chanting your japa?" So, when we're awake, we should really be awake. When we're chanting, we should really be awake. Because this chanting is the means of becoming fully awake. Not just awake to the ordinary standard where I know, you know, left from right and up from down and no, but coming to the point where by spiritually sharpened intelligence, one understands the distinction between spirit and matter. This is one of the definitions of intelligence that Prabhupada gives. Intelligence means the ability to distinguish between matter and spirit. In the West, it, like everything else, because they're speculating, it's wide open. If you go to Wikipedia, which is now accepted as the repository of all knowledge, Wikipedia. So if you go to Wikipedia and look up intelligence, they'll tell you it's not so clearly defined and not all scientists and philosophers agree on what it means. And they gave us an example that there was a meeting of about 12 or 15 really great thinkers, and they asked them to define intelligence, and they got 12 or 15 different answers. So even the great thinkers of today, they can't agree on what is intelligence. But we have some pretty succinct definitions of what is intelligence, and that's one of them. If you can distinguish between matter and spirit, then you're intelligent. There's another definition that Prabhupada gave, used actually quite often, and this comes from Chanaka Pandit. Most of you should know the verse I'm thinking of. Matravat paradareshu paradravyeshu losavat. Atmavat sarvabhuteshu sa pashanti sa pandita. Anybody who sees like this is a pandita, intelligent person. First point, matravat paradhareshu. To see every woman except your wife as mother. This is a sign of intelligence. Which means if you're not married, then you see every woman as mother. And as we were discussing in my last Gita class on Wednesday, there's a very deep import to this. It's not just, oh, you see women as mother, mataji. No. If you are cultured, if you're materially advanced, there's no question of seeing your mother in terms of sex life. That's the point. So if you're seeing every woman as mother, then there's no question of sex life. There's no question. In the Vedic culture, as we know, the boys were trained from an early age, from 5 years old, same age Prahlad and his sons. They were sent to school, and under the direction of the guru, the spiritual master, who was generally a grihastha. So they saw, first of all, the wife of the guru as mother, because they were out of home. They didn't have their own mother necessarily every day, access to their own mother. So immediately they saw the guru's wife as mother. And they were trained to see every woman as mother. And they were sent out every day to beg alms. So they would ask, "Mother, can you give some alms?" They would go from door to door, and the woman of the household usually would give some atta, some rice, whatever, like that. So they were steeped in this vision to see every woman as mother. So naturally, when they grow up, they retain that. Not like nowadays, from 5 years old, they're watching sexy movies and whatnot. So they're not like that. So matarat paradarishu. This is a sign of intelligence, to see every woman as mother. It's very difficult for us who have been mistrained and misled since birth. So it's very difficult to come to that standard. It's very difficult. Then paradravyeshu loshtavan. What does that mean? To see other person's possessions as garbage in the street. So there's no question of envy and lust, greed. Be satisfied with whatever you've gotten naturally, your own quota. As the Shish Upanishad says, whatever has been set aside as your quota, be satisfied with that. And not always looking at what the other person has. And, you know, and this is another thing we're mistrained in the West, especially one-upsmanship. If the neighbor buys a Buick, I want a Cadillac. If the neighbor buys a Cadillac, I want a Porsche. If the neighbor buys a Porsche, I want it. Like that. Just you want to keep outdoing the neighbors. You know, everybody's just never satisfied. I've told this story a couple of times, but it would always be with me. When I was in the Potomac Temple, there was one member that I got pretty close to, and I noticed one Sunday feast, he was like really down. So I asked him, what's going on? What's happening? I said, Prabhu, I said, no, tell me. So he said, his son had just graduated high school, was going to college. And he bought the boy a car. He bought him a brand new Toyota. And the guy, the son, got angry with his father. How can you buy me a Toyota? All my friends are driving BMWs. So, mistrained from birth to always want more, 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 more. Never satisfied. That was the point that Lord Vamanadeva made to Bali Maharaj. When Bali Maharaj was trying to induce him to ask for more than 3 steps of land, he said, anyone, especially a so-called Brahmana, who's not satisfied with, you know, what they have, whatever comes naturally, they'll never be satisfied, even if you gave them the whole universe. So it's like that. There's no end. There's no limit to greed. So we should learn to be satisfied with whatever we have, whatever comes naturally, which doesn't mean equal. That's another fallacy in the West. Well, yes, I'll be satisfied if I have exactly what everybody else has. Why should anybody have more than me? Let's divide everything up equally. But if you did that, that's an example I use a lot in college preaching. If you did that, if you gave everybody, let's say, in this room right now, $10 million. Woohoo! Everybody's happy. $10 million. But if you came back in 1 year, gathered everybody back together, would everybody still have $10 million? No. The most foolish among us would throw away the bead bag, throw away the neck beads, and run to Vegas. Within a few days, $10 million gone. And the most prudent would invest very wisely and like that. And then most of us would be somewhere in between. So it's like that. Even if you gave everybody exactly the same amount of material possessions, they would not retain them, would not, because everybody's karma is different. So that's the vision that one has to be trained in, to see that based on one's karma, you're going to have a certain amount of happiness, a certain amount of distress, a certain amount of material opportunities like that. That's all based on your individual karma. You cannot change that. You cannot change that. And that's why we see, it's a phenomenon they study, that many, many lottery winners again become poor. They were destined to be poor in this life. And just by gambling, by chance, they came into some money, and lo and behold, it's gone again. They throw it away, or a bad investment, somebody rips them off, or whatever. And some people are so unfortunate. I was in the San Diego temple, this was in the early 90s, and this was a story in the news down there because it happened in San Diego. San Diego is a pretty prominent retirement community. Pretty pleasant weather and nice nature. So a lot of people retire, and a lot of retirees in America, especially back in those days. Now it's not so much because a lot of them have lost their money, my mother included. But, you know, back in the 80s, 90s, they had some cash after 30 years of working. So this guy targeted these retirees with this investment scheme. Now you're retired. Yes, it seems that you have enough, but you never know. You know, he sweet-talked them into investing in this scheme, and a lot of them lost their money, lost their shirt. Finally, they caught the guy, and they threw him in jail. And this is a true story. And from jail, this guy was such a vicious person. From jail, because he had the list of all these people. They were his investors, after all. From jail, he called them and pretended to be a lawyer who was going to get their money back for him. All they had to do was send $1,000. So he ripped them off twice. This is bad karma. So based on your karma, you're going to have or not have. You can't escape that. So, parajabyeshu loshtavat. Just learn to see other people's possessions as garbage in the street. When we walk out here, of course in New Dwarka, we pick up the garbage because we don't want it to look bad. But in most places, people walk out, there's garbage, they don't look at it, they just keep walking. So we should be like that with other people's possessions. If somebody loses something, immediately you try to find the owner and give it to them. It's a gold ring, let me keep it. No, this is not intelligent. Because there's repercussions, this is the point. In the West, we don't realize there's repercussions for every action that you perform. So if you take somebody else's possession and keep it, you are going to get ripped off to the same degree in the future. And then the last line, Atmavat Sarvabhuteshu. To learn to treat everyone else the way you would like to be treated. In the West, we call this the golden rule. But it's deeper than that. When you start to understand, start to realize yourself as spirit, as an eternal being, then you start to see everybody else the same way. Self-realization means realizing that everybody else is like you. That's part of self-realization. In the West, just the opposite. Well, not just, I keep saying the West, all around the world now, everywhere, everybody's mistrained like this. You are numero uno. You are the best. You're the greatest. Learn to love yourself. Love yourself first. Love, love. You know, everything is about me. We are a very me-centered, cult-centric culture. And therefore, of course, you naturally look down on everybody else. If you think that you're the greatest, you're the center of everything, then you naturally look down your nose at everybody else. It goes with the territory. You can't think you're the greatest and then hold other people in high esteem. It doesn't go together. So, if you're mistrained to think that you're the greatest, you're the best, you're the center, everybody should take care of you first, then you look down your nose at everybody else, naturally. So this is not intelligent. Intelligence means, again, seeing, understanding clearly, that all jivas are the same. We're all Krishna's parts and parcels, and there's no potential difference between one jiva and another. Now, based on our current situation in material consciousness, there's going to be different grades of intelligence, of mental acumen, of physical ability. If the world's fastest man, maybe it's still this guy Bolt, if he was here, and I would say to you, Usain Bolt is faster than you, you wouldn't be upset. And say, yeah, it's a given. The guy's got all the world records. But if I put you next to somebody and say, this guy's more intelligent, and immediately you get upset. Why do you think I'm not intelligent? Everybody wants to be seen as being intelligent. Even though, like I said, these scientists, great thinkers, they don't even know what intelligence really is. But everybody wants to be seen as being intelligent. So if we want to be intelligent, we have to hear from the scriptures. This is what the scriptures are meant for sharpening intelligence. For, first of all, indicating what is real intelligence, and then for sharpening that intelligence. So Prahlad is sharpening the intelligence of his 5-year-old classmates. He's pointing out that there are these three states that we find ourselves in. So the first is the wakeful state, then there's the dreaming state, which we all experience practically on a daily basis. You put this body down, and you're not perceiving through the senses that as you normally are. You're not seeing anything with the eyes. You're not so much even aware of the sense of touch, a little bit maybe. Hearing is usually still work functioning, but not so great. I remember one time there was a car that crashed into this building. Where the BBT is, I live upstairs, corner building here. And where's Sura? Sura walked out. But anyway, all practically into Sura's bedroom, this car crashed. And, so some people were aware and immediately woke up, and other people were sleeping through the whole thing. So even though the sense of hearing is usually still functioning, sometimes you hear, sometimes you don't, depending on what state of consciousness you're in while you're sleeping. So the dreaming state, we can relate to, because we go through that every day. But the real point about dreaming, as I also point out a lot in college preaching, is that, generally speaking, we're not afraid of going to sleep. Right? Because we have experience. Sleep means you put this body down, and after 4, 5, 6, 8 hours, however long you sleep, you wake up in the same body. Death means putting this body down and waking up in a different body. That's all. But because we have experience of sleep, we're not afraid of sleeping. But because we don't remember death, it's sometime in the past, we're afraid of dying. Everybody's afraid of dying. But technically, it's just like that. It's a different kind of going to sleep. You put this body down and you wake up in a different body. That's all. Generally speaking, again, we're putting this body down and waking up in the same body. It's not that I put this body down and I wake up in Acharyanartho's body or somebody else's body. Usually you put this body down and you wake up in the same body. And while sleeping and dreaming, you forget the nature of this particular body, right? It's not that Ganesh is sleeping and he's thinking that, you know, my Ganesh body is waiting for me. No, sometimes he's thinking he's a bird or maybe a Gandharva. Or somebody in Vaikuntha, whatever he dreams about. He's not necessarily thinking about his Ganesh body. But then when the alarm goes off, he wakes up and reassumes the Ganesh role. Oh, I got to take the Sankirtan party out tonight. Let me go put some gas in the van. You know, everything related to the Ganesh body. So it's like that. We're sleeping. We forget about our normal wakeful state, our normal front that we present to the world. I'm, you know, 30 years old, or I'm black, or I'm white, or I'm male, female. This is the front that we're presenting. We forget about that when we're sleeping. And then the third state, this is Supti. Extremely, extremely important to understand. And very, very interesting state. This deep sleep, complete lack of consciousness. Generally speaking, Prabhupada would compare it to like when you go for an operation, anesthesia. You take some anesthetic and you're completely out. Anybody here have a general anesthetic? Anybody? Yeah, I've had two hernia operations. One was here at Harbor UCLA under general anesthesia. Very, very well done. Excellent job. A little expensive, $22,000 they charge for 3 days in operation, but excellent job. Then the second one I had while I was traveling in Bosnia. Don't even want to talk about that too much, but that was my ex-wife's uncle who did the operation because the second hernia popped out. And so he did on the local anesthesia. He just gave me a local. And when he made the cut, I said, hey, I feel that. So he said, you want a little more anesthesia? I said, nah, just go ahead. So this susupti is like taking a general anesthetic. Complete. I mean, I don't remember anything. I remember being wheeled into the operating room here at Our Harbor UCLA, but after that, nothing until I woke up many hours later. So in relation to our consciousness, the susupti, we enter into that susupti state that's completely controlled by Krishna. Everything is under Krishna's control, but the susupti state is special. At the partial devastation in the universe and at the end of Brahma's life, whoever is not qualified to go back to Godhead enters into the susupti state. And you can remain in that state for millions and billions of years. Imagine going for an operation and not waking up for millions and billions of years. So it's like that. It's complete lack of consciousness. You don't know what's going on. We're absorbed at the end of Brahma's life into the body of the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu first, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, and then into the body of Mahavishnu. Everything gets withdrawn. And so we're actually in contact with the Supreme Lord. We're inside the body of Mahavishnu, but completely unaware of it. Totally unaware of it. And not only that, what I find interesting is that not only we're not aware, but our consciousness doesn't change. In other words, you get withdrawn into the body of the Mahavishnu in material consciousness. And after billions of years, you wake up in the same material consciousness. So normally we say when you come in contact with Krishna, or even Krishna's devotee, your consciousness changes. For the better. You become more and more spiritually aware and more advanced. But in this particular instance of susupti, your consciousness doesn't change. Therefore, when you come out, whatever states of consciousness you had, you pick up exactly in the same place. And that's why there's so much variety, because everybody's in a different state of consciousness. That's why there's so much variety in God's creation. Everybody's in a different state of a mixture of the three modes of material nature. And then when you come back out of the body of the Mahavishnu, you pick up exactly where you left off. So if you were a Justin Bieber crazy teenager, you come out again with the same consciousness. You pick up in, or if you were some great politician pondering what to do for the citizens, and you come back like that. You pick up exactly where you left off. Or if you're some animal meditating on chasing some other animal for food, again, you're going to pick up that same consciousness. So, we've been through that countless times. At the partial, when Lo Brahma goes to sleep, there's a partial devastation, susupti, for all the living entities who are not qualified. And at the end of Lo Brahma's life, everybody who's not qualified to go back to Godhead absorbed into the body of Mahavishnu. We've been through that countless times. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, we have a chance to get out of that cycle, to not be absorbed and then spit out again with the same material consciousness. We can transform our consciousness through proper use of intelligence. It's being discussed here today, intelligence. Through proper use of intelligence, learning to discriminate between matter and spirit, learning how to live properly with proper vision, even while still in the material world, we can become qualified to go back to Godhead permanently, not just be absorbed into the body of Mahavishnu, stay there for a long, long, long time, and then again come out and resume our material activities, which means hankering and lamentation. That's basically it. Material life can be reduced to just those two things. We hanker after what we don't have, either in terms of material possessions or material relationships, or the opposite side, we lament about what we had and we couldn't hold on to. Or we lament because we didn't get it in the first place. So hankering and lamentation. So we should be very conscious of that, of watching our consciousness progress to the point where we don't hanker and lament. At least we don't hanker for material situations. We learn to hanker for Krishna service. Yesterday's lecture, those of you who are here remember, what was the point? It was 7th chapter of 1st Canto. We're still hearing from Yudhishthira Maharaj. And his point was about purification. That you can't purify muddy water by filtering it through mud. You can't purify something that's contaminated with alcohol by applying alcohol. And you can't, he was lamenting that you can't purify yourself of the sin of killing, because he was saying, I've killed so many men and animals, you know, battle of Kurukshetra. He said, you can't purify yourself of the sin of killing so many by another killing, which is, he was referring to sacrifice, by killing another animal and sacrifice. That's not going to absolve you of the sin of killing so many people. So in that lecture, Prabhupada made some very interesting points. Srila Prabhupada had a great sense of humor. I mean, I experienced personally here in this room and other, when Prabhupada would come to New Yorker for some time and we got to hear class day after day after day. Prabhupada had a great sense of humor. But you shouldn't laugh out of place. If you laughed out of place, Prabhupada said, why are you laughing? This is very serious. Don't laugh. But then he would, you know, by a sense of humor, like yesterday, in yesterday's class, one of the funniest things that Prabhupada was pointing out, that there's restriction in society. He's asking, why? Why does the government restrict alcohol? That you can't produce alcohol at home. Even though he was saying it's a very easy process. You take some rice, you soak it, leave it for a month, you'll get rice wine. It's not a very difficult thing to distill alcohol at home. So why does the government restrict it? And he was even comparing marriage also. Why is marriage there as a restriction for sex life? So why all these restrictions? He was saying, and he said quite humorously, nobody restricts chapatis. The government doesn't tell you that you shouldn't make chapatis at home. So he said, but something is good, there's no restriction. Chapatis are good. We all love chapatis. So there's no restriction. Make chapatis. Eat chapatis. But when something is bad, there's restriction. Intoxication is bad. Therefore, the government all over the world, even though not to the degree that they should, but to some degree, they restrict it. You cannot make your own alcohol at home. You have to buy it in a licensed liquor shop. So when something is bad, and Prabhupada is pointing out even sex life is bad, that's why it's restricted in marriage. Unrestricted sex life is bad for you, and therefore it's restricted in marriage. Get one woman, see her as your wife, and under rules and regulations, you can have sex life. Otherwise, restricted. So when something is bad, it's restricted. When something is good, no restriction. So we are very fortunate. We've come in contact with the best, chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare. No restriction. Chant as much as you can. As much as you can. Chant. Take prasadam. Well, you know, in the beginning, Prabhupada wasn't even restricting. He would tell him, eat, eat, eat. And he would personally make for them. There was this one devotee, Stridi, she was eating so much. 2 chapatis, 3 chapatis, 4, 5. Finally, when he got to like 12, Prabhupada said, all right, enough. So when something is good, no restriction. No restriction. All right, we can stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, bro. So you think the body of Mahavishnu is the material world? Even if you say that, even if you say that your origin is the body of Mahavishnu, that's not the material world. If you read that Puranjan allegory, that's explained there quite clearly, that we came from the spiritual world, Krishna, this Brahmana that was advising, he's compared to the super soul, and he accompanies us through all of our transmigrations, and just trying to direct us to turn our intelligence, our vision back to going back to Godhead. So it's clearly explained there that we came from the spiritual world. It's not due to envy, it's just out of curiosity. Because Krishna is the supreme controller, the supreme enjoyer. As his parts and parcels, we have the same tendency. So if you wonder, what would it be like to be Krishna? Then you have to come here to experience that. You can't experience being Krishna, because first of all, you can never be Krishna, and you can't even imitate Krishna on a spiritual platform. Here we can imitate, and therefore we clash. We're all imitating Krishna. But even if you say that your origin was in the body of Mahavishnu, that's not in the material world. The Supreme Lord never comes in contact with matter. Matter is one of his energies, but he's... Yeah, you're still a spiritual being. It's still a spiritual nature. It's still a spiritual nature. So, but Prabhupada always presented that we came from the spiritual world. That's why he named his magazine Back to Godhead. We came from Godhead and we want to go back to Godhead. Jutakarma Prabhu wrote a nice paper on that. You can read that paper and inquire from him. He knows all of the particular points. But the basic point is, we're Prabhupada Nugas, and Srila Prabhupada always presented it that way. That we were with Krishna. Krishna's waiting for us to come back to him. And if you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, following Gopa Kumar's elevation, gradual elevation back to Godhead, we see that when he gets back to the spiritual world, Krishna embraces him and they both faint, because Krishna says, I was waiting for you. So are we going to say that that's not true? Read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. But anyway, following the Prabhupada's footsteps, our contention is that we all came from the spiritual world and we're elevating ourselves to go back to the spiritual world. All right, we can stop here. We're running a little late. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari, Ram, 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 Hari, Krishna, Krishna, Hari.